water. I drank mine in one gulp. It didn't taste too bad, considering it had probably been steam only a little while earlier. Ratko offered something to Zebra, and she accepted with clear misgivings, first obviously suppressing concerns that we might be poisoned. I put the empty glass down on his battered metal desk. "You're not quite what I was expecting, Gideon." Quirrenbach nudged me. "This isn't Gideon, Tanner. This is, well..." And then he trailed off before adding weakly, "The men, like I said." The man punched a new set of orders into the chair. There was more clattering. It went on for about 15 seconds before the voice began to pipe out again. "No, I'm not Gideon, but you've probably heard of me. I made this place." "What?" said Zebra. "This maze of tunnels?" "No," he said after another pause, while the chair processed the words. "No, not this maze of tunnels. This whole city. This whole planet." He had programmed a pause at that point. "I am Marco Ferris." I remembered what Quirrenbach had just told me about the man having an unusual belief system. Well, this certainly fitted the bill, but I couldn't help but feel some sneaking empathy with the man in the steam-driven wheelchair. After all, I wasn't exactly sure who I was anymore. "Well, Marco," I said, "answer a question for me. Are you running this place, or is Gideon in charge? In fact, does Gideon even exist?" The chair cluttered and clacked. "Oh, I am definitely running this place, Mr.—" He dismissed my name with a minute wave of his other hand. Too much trouble to stop mid-sentence and query me. "But Gideon is here. Gideon has always been here. Without Gideon, I would not be here." "Well, why don't you take us to see him?" Zebra said. "Because there is no need. Because no one gets to see Gideon without excellent reason. You do all your business through me, so why involve Gideon? Gideon is just the supplier. He doesn't know anything." "We'd still like a word with him," I said. "I'm sorry. Not possible. Not possible at all." He backed the chair away from the desk, the huge curved spoke wheels rumbling on the floor. "I still want to see Gideon." "Hey," said Ratko, stepping forward to interpose between myself and the man who thought he was Marco Ferris. "You heard the man, didn't you?" Ratko moved, but he was an amateur. I dropped him, leaving him moaning on the floor with a fractured forearm. I motioned to Zebra to lean down and help herself to the gun Ratko had been about to pull. Now we were both armed. I pulled out my own weapon while Zebra aimed the other gun at Ferris, or whoever the man really was. "Here's the deal," I said. "Take me to Gideon, or take me to Gideon weeping in agony. How does that sound?" He pushed and tugged at another set of controls, causing the chair to unplug itself from its steam feed lines. I suppose there could have been weapons set into the chair, but I didn't think they would be fast enough to do him much good. "This way," Ferris said, after another briefer period of clattering. He took us along more tunnels, spiraling downwards again. The chair propelled itself along with a series of rapid puffs, Ferris steering it expertly through narrow chicanes of rock. I wondered about him. Quirrenbach, and perhaps Zebra, appeared to accept that he was delusional. But then, if he wasn't who he claimed, who was he? "Tell me how you got here," I said, "and tell me what it has to do with Gideon." More clattering. "That's a long story. Luckily, it's one I've often been asked to recount. That's why I have this pre-programmed